good. Okay. Excellent. Well, it's great to be back from vacation, and it's good to see all of you. My first temptation was to show about 1,000 photos from vacation instead of a sermon, but I didn't take 1,000, so that's very workable. What I want to do today is start a few weeks on how the church, you and I, receive from Jesus, how we receive things, hear things, see what's going on with Jesus, how we do that. And that really is our direction for this year, 2017. Sight and sound is what we're concentrating on, how you hear his voice, see his presence. And I thought the gospel reading today, the transfiguration, well, I mean, they're both in there. I mean, just incredible sight, incredible sounds, things of God that are going on there. You get a lot of that in the Bible anyway, but this is a particularly strong example of that. So I wanted to draw out a couple of things in this today, and they are things that they're not immediately evident when you read the story, because there's such incredible things in that story that just strike you, really hit you right away. And there's some things underneath that I want to bring out today. And what I want to concentrate on is out of the epistle reading today from 2 Peter. And if you take a look at that, the very next to last line, about the middle of that line, says, "No prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation." So I want to look at that with you today for a bit and see what that means. It's an incredibly powerful and significant thing that goes on as we relate to the Scriptures and to one another. And I remember some years back, I had met someone in the community around the church we were serving in Pennsylvania there. And this young man was just agitated. He was upset. And I had the feeling that no matter who was around was the target of his agitation. But since there I was talking to him, his agitation was towards the church. He's complaining about this and complaining about that. And he said, "And someday, if I ever show up at your church, I'll probably get up and preach a sermon too." I said, okay. And never saw him again after that. He never showed up. New people moved into the house. I didn't know what went on with him. That's going on. And then as we went along a few years later, somebody else said the same thing in a church meeting we had. "Well, there's this I don't like and that I don't like, and maybe I'll just get up and preach a sermon." So, okay. And person never did do that, but there we were. So I was thinking about those things. Today they crossed my mind. And I thought what was underneath all of that was there was something about their experience in the church where they felt isolated. Now, they also felt agitated, and they also felt all kinds of other things, but there was an isolation about them. And I don't know if they had been part of a group or team or something, if that ever would have been satisfied for those two individuals in particular. But there was something about their experience of the church as being a collection of individuals who get together and then go home. They get together for worship and then go home, or for a committee and then go home. Pardon me. The whole thing's choking me up a little bit right now. All right, I think I'm okay. So, today we have a category for those kinds of people, and they're called duns. They're people who've been to church for a lot of years and are just, but we're getting nowhere. My contribution isn't helping. I'm done. Maybe you know people like this. People maybe who've been to this church who for some time were active and participating and contributing, and all of a sudden, well, that's it. I'm done. You don't have to call out their names. That's okay. There's something about our experience in the church where we come, maybe not you and me too much, but a lot of people, they come and they are isolated, they sit in their place, and then they go home. And the experience of relationship they have with each other is minimal. Now, there's a lot of evidence to the contrary here amongst us at St. Francis. Thanks be to God for that. It's just excellent. Nonetheless, it can go on. John Wimber used to call that dynamic in churches to being their intimate strangers, where a group of people will know each other by name, know where you live, know some other things about you, what kind of car you drive maybe because it's in the parking lot or whatever. But that's it. What breaks your heart? What moves you? Things like that aren't there. It's a group of intimate strangers. Now, I was thinking about that. I think that does happen an awful lot in churches and other groups. And then some other thoughts came to my mind. You know what it is after vacation. All kinds of things just go on. It takes a few weeks to settle down. But nonetheless, I remember the way that I learned to play guitar was with other people. I don't mean a teacher. I never had a guitar teacher. But it was with other friends, other guys. We'd get together, hey, look at this and look at that, and I figured out this, and we'd show each other things or whatever that went on like that. And I've become one of your okayest guitar players around. to get to another level, I have to do something completely different. But nonetheless, that's what I learned. That's how I learned. And then I was thinking about that further. I learned ministry that way. I learned how to do a lot of ministry by doing it with other people. Now, just as an aside, I know it's going to be on the tape, on the MP3, but I'm denying it. They do not teach you that in seminary. Just to make sure you're okay. A lot of ministry things you just do not learn in seminary. You learn by going out with other people who know how to do them, and you do what they do. That's how it works. Now, you can learn Hebrew in seminary. You can learn that, but other things, well, I don't know. You have to be connected to somebody else. I also learned how to hear God with other people, and not so much by myself. It's being around other people who caught it, and you catch it together. And other people share, this is what happened to me as I was hearing God. And then you start saying, oh yeah, that happened to me too. And you start thinking, well, that's kind of how it works. And you start sharing that and seeing how that goes. And it happens together, in a community, in a group, amongst a circle of friends. Things like that happen. And that's what we see here in the story of the Transfiguration. And that's why Peter writes about it in such a way. I mean, he writes 2 Peter, the second letter to Peter, years after this had happened to him. And it's still forming him and still influencing him and still shaping his thinking. And that's why he says no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Because of the way he received that word from God, he was not alone. There were all people around him. And as you remember the story, it was a very corrective word from God. I mean, there they were. They're going up the mountain. And here comes Moses and Elijah. And Jesus is dazzling white and all kinds of things. And they are very impressed, as Jewish people would be in a situation like that. And then Moses and Elijah are leaving, and Peter says, wow, three monuments right now. What do you say? Let's go for it. And a voice comes out of heaven. I mean, how more corrective can it get? And everybody hears it. Peter doesn't even finish his sentence. And this is my son, my chosen, my beloved. Listen to him. He's corrected. Everybody hears that. Now, in a group together, they all heard the word of the Lord, and they all matured some that day. Peter stood a little bit to go with his impulsiveness after that, but he matured. Which, the underlying thing in all of this, and what Peter is pointing to, what goes on in the way that we grow and hear the voice of the Lord is this: unity and maturity are woven together. And it is very easy in our life in the church to think that unity and maturity are two separate things that happen independent of one another. So, for example, a visitor comes into St. Francis and they will receive a very warm welcome and very good to see you. This is wonderful. Hi, how are you? And all of that goes on. And that's great. That's a warm welcome, which sometimes is defined as unity. But you can have a warm welcome and no sense of a shared mission, a shared pursuit of what God wants you to do together, but still be very welcoming, open to people, friendly, and all this. Unity is when a group of people are walking together to become more like Jesus. And when you are walking together to become more like Jesus, you will be maturing. If you are maturing, that's because you are walking together with some others to become more like Jesus. And it's becoming more like Jesus, which the Bible describes as crucifying. And you'll notice that Jesus did not crucify himself. We're crucified with other people around. Other people are crucified with us. We die to ourselves in various ways, usually together because, as the Proverbs say, iron sharpens iron. That goes on. And as that process of that unity, of walking together to become more like Jesus, where we grow up. Just as Peter grew up a little bit on the Mount of the Transfiguration. Just as things happen where a lot of people around him, including Moses, Elijah, God the Father, Peter and James, and Jesus, all saw what happened, all experienced the voice, and all saw what Peter did afterwards. Now, I would imagine, there's no biblical record of it, but I would imagine that after a little while, James or John might have said to Peter, "Hey, how's that listening to Jesus thing going with you? Remember you getting that on the mountaintop? Remember that? What wasn't your plan to be listening to him after that?" That accountability, that sharing, that mutual encouragement also increases our maturity. So I think there are some implications for this. And some of the implications... they're a little more uncomfortable than what I've already pointed out. Walking together is crucifying and so forth. And you know, we can see that point, even if we're not quite okay with it all the time. But still, we will always see that that's what has to happen. That's how we mature. There's implications concerning the way that we picture the church. If we are going to apply the idea, no prophecy of Scripture is of one's own interpretation. And that is, it is imperative, I think, to overcome the siloing of the church, where we have our individual contribution, our individual place, our individual anything that you wish to have it, you have it, it's your own. And that we come and we like what we see because that's our personal preference. So I don't want to say there's anything evil with personal preference. I do want to say that personal preference will sometimes take priority over unity. And when it takes priority over unity, which is walking together with Jesus to become like him, it will compromise our maturity. Did you all just follow what I said? In other words, if you're a consumer, you're here because you like it, you're not going to grow. Did you catch that? Same thing. Your maturity and your growth will come by listening to the word of the Lord in such a way that you're walking together with other people. All right, let's pick on somebody else, a hypothetical person. Somebody comes to a church because they like the preacher. They like the music. They like the building. They like the feel of it. That is all individual preference. And that individual preference will compromise your maturity. This is going great, isn't it? I should go on vacation more often. This is really uplifting. So, now I think many of us have recognized that, and many of us work through things where our preferences were not as high as we wanted them to be. Our choices would have been different, but still we kept coming because we felt the Lord wants us to be there. And then what happens is we come to a level in the church where we begin to see, you know what, I have a gift. And so I want that gift to be contributed into the church. And what happens is we've taken that preference that, you know, we like a style, we like a certain kind of preaching or music or whatever. We've taken that preference and put it on to what we feel we can contribute. So we start saying, I want to contribute my gift to this group. Well, it's not your gift. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the gift of Christ, that was given to you. And it was given to you so that the entire body of Christ can work together. To be thinking in terms of my gift means that I am interpreting my experience with God on my own. And my experience with God can really only be interpreted with other people. If you follow what I mean. Now, a lot of us have had experiences with God. We've heard God say things to us. Some of us have had dreams, I know, because you've shared them with me and told me different things. And the interpretation of those experiences or those dreams have started to be received only in a group, only together. So it is when I bring my gift into the group, somebody else brings their gift into the group, Richard brings his gift, Hetty brings her gift, Marion brings her gift, Rob brings his, and so forth, and those gifts start weaving together. I stop holding on to them. I stop thinking it is my gift, but it's the gift of Christ to be shared. That's when that group starts growing and is able to mature. A mature group reproduces. Multiplies. Very, very significant. Okay. Now what I've done is cut a little deeper than I want to encourage you to do this week, because what I'm really doing is saying, you don't need me to tell you what God is saying. You don't need the music ministry to worship. You don't need somebody up front who supplies all the things you need for your Christian life. It's just a piece of what God is doing with you and with us together. And what you and I can do this week is to take another step into maturity, which is when God gives you something, tells you something, taps you on the shoulder, whatever it may be, then we share that with another person to see what that might mean. If you would do that this week, you would find that you will be growing in your Christian faith in a way that you do not otherwise grow. You'll find that you will see something of Jesus because it's coming through not only to you directly from the Spirit of God, but also through your friends in Christ. It's coming in several ways. And that deepens the stream that you receive from the Lord. And you grow in that. And as you grow in that, your ability to follow Him increases. So, just to be clear, what I don't want you to do is, if you feel God has told you something this week, is to figure it out on your own. Don't do that. If God has told you something, bring it to somebody and share it with them so that they can, with you together, really start seeing what God is telling you and asking of you and motivating you to do. Okay. Would you do that? I was hoping for a little deeper response than that. If God tells you something, taps you on the shoulder, would you share that with another person so that they can unpack it with you? Would you do that? Got a few people in the front? Okay, that's great. That's good. That's a good start. That's the way the church receives and the church grows. You see, within each church, within St. Francis, there's a deposit of Christ. There is a unique gifting, a unique purpose, a unique flow of life that it is of St. Francis. As we share together in that way and mature together, the release of that life is stronger and stronger and stronger into the community. All right. Now, if any of this seems confusing to you, please ask me later, and I will try not to confuse you with the answer to that question. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have called us to be following you together. We ask that you would fill us with your grace and your ability to share with one another those things that you give us, and that we'd be able to build one another up so that we may reach unity in the knowledge and love of you and maturity in our ability to follow you. And we ask that for the glory of your name. Amen.